the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, viable option. And at our website, stevebick.com. And into a weekend that one of those transitional periods, right? Post Breeders' Cup. We still got a little bit more Breeders' Cup cleanup in aisle, in aisle B. We'll get some deep dive analysis. Paul Matisse in the second hour. Looking forward to that. It's a tradition. It's a tradition like no other. We'll hear how. I know Paul had some good opinions, and we'll see what his key learnings were coming out. Yeah, that's one of the exercises. You know, what did we learn? What did we miss? What do we file away for next time? So we'll do plenty of that. Nick Tamaro, too. Actually, Nick, I'm going to move Nick up. Nick was asking. In fact, I haven't gotten back to him. Nick looking for a little bit of a earlier visit. So I think we'll hear him late in this hour. Got quite a bit to do early here, including a really sad piece of news. Plus, I've got some of yesterday's postscript and the like. You already know if I'm mentioning something sad. English Channel. This was, wow, this was a absolute, just a rapid deterioration that takes his life. I mean, I literally 24 hours after word came that he was not going to be available for stud service. We get those. We get the occasional, back strain and the like, and sometimes a lot of times, laminitis related issues will crop up, and a stallion can't be expected to service mares. That word came, and then, literally, 36 hours later, English Channel's gone. 19. And next week with Sid, undoubtedly, we'll review his really good, just a steady supply of nice turf horses, obviously, and leading turf sire. And, wow, it just hearts go out to everybody. Had a lot of fans, and, certainly from the Todd Pletcher barn all the way through. Next time we talk to Todd as well, I'm sure we'll get him to reflect. The Scatorcio family, of course, as well. He was a terrific racehorse, and then just a slow building, steady stallion that, as his horses, as his sons and daughters aged, got better and better. And this has been a banner year. I mean, how many times have we talked about what English Channel was achieving? So really sad. I think all year long, during the summer, you heard people, saying they want to get their mare to English Channel. It's tough. I feel bad for the Calumet team. They really provided momentum too for the rebuilt Calumet Stallion program. All right, we'll get more next week with Sid, certainly. There was happy news as well, and bottom of the hour, after we talked to Marty McGee, looking forward to having my man, Super G, Gary Siaka. Gary, yesterday, first race of the aqueduct season, first the fall meet that'll give rise to winter. First race. Wasting no time, Gary, with Comset for Mike Hennig and our friends Woodbury and Olga. Comset wires the first race under Javier Castellano, giving Gary his 1,000th career win, and it was an emotional scene. We were at, Tina and I were on our way to Connecticut to see my dad, and so, you know, was only able to enjoy it that way. And believe me, I would have loved, as I'll tell Gary, I mean, he knows, would have loved for one of our horses to be that 1,000th. But, you know, the Hennig brothers, Dan and Mike Hennig, have been, you know, clients now of Gary's for an extended period. And of course, Woodbury, you know, you've heard on the show many times, Woodbury, you know, gets young horses started. And they've been friends, worked together for 30 years. But Gary's story is really great. It's a classic racetracker story. Came on the racetrack as a, you know, as a teenager, and the way things evolved, had really the opportunity to train horses and have his name on the trainer line at a very young age. And it was kind of thrust upon him. And he's made a fabulous life, and raised, he and Josephine, two wonderful children. And as Gary was quoted yesterday, and I'm sure you'll hear him say today, the racetrack really gave him, has given him everything that he could have wanted. And he's taught me so much. And we've had so much fun. I'm happy to have contributed, you know, probably, I don't know, our DT horses, maybe 25 wins of Gary's 1,000. And we'll try for one on Sunday. We'll try to get him. We'll see. Between now and Sunday, when Scherzando runs, he might get one or two more. But we finally got a race to go on Sunday. So Gary's going to join us this hour as well. Marty McGee will start things off in a few minutes, a couple of minutes here. We'll talk about the Churchill weekend upcoming, and as mentioned, that Dream Supreme, which has got all the Philly and Mare sprinters that didn't go to Del Mar, they're all lined up, there's also some very good maiden races, a bunch of seemingly important maiden specials that got to keep an eye on. So we'll do that. We'll go through some of the spots with Marty here in a little bit. We'll also get his postscript and his reaction to Breeders' Cup as well. So Marty, Gary, Nick Tamaro, Paul Matisse, James Scully. We'll get to Scully, get some plays from him, and we'll get his postscript and see how his final thoughts were on Breeders' Cup. Hammer, we'll check in with Hammer. Bobby Shoemaker in Hour 3 as well. And I haven't confirmed, actually, but probably Dave Grenning to round out the morning. And actually, I should reach out to Ron Gierkink. There's a very good weekend of racing at Woodbine. Tomorrow, the Bessarabian and the Maple Leaf. And then on Sunday, the Autumn Stakes, as well as some other nice allowance and maiden action. Del Mar's got some maidens, and you've got the Desi Arnaz and the Bob Hope. Both came up kind of short fields, but might be some nice horses in there. So we got plenty to do. It's also, don't forget, tomorrow you've all gotten emails that set you up to participate in the finals of the Beat Bit contest. And the races are set. We got a dozen races. Woodbine, Aqueduct, Del Mar, Laurel are the assortment. So a nice mix. And by the way, off the turf in both New York and Maryland today. There was, I know, some rain yesterday. So off the turf today. And just looking here, Woodbine, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th tomorrow. So that'll include the two stakes. And the Aqueduct, 8th and 9th. That'll bring you the Artie Schiller, as well as a nice allowance group. And at Del Mar, the 3rd, 5th, and 7th. And at Laurel, the 7th and 8th. All right? So 12 races, one of you out of the 700. One of you is winning an NHC seat for January tomorrow in Beat Bick. So good luck to everybody, and we'll remind you again. Well, we'll remind you several times, obviously, between now and tomorrow. First post, the first race in the sequence goes off at 3:56. The Woodbine 7th is the first leg of the dozen, okay? So get ready for that. We're going to reach for Marty here in a second. Let's recap yesterday's Indiana action, and the season wound down. They had a huge day. They did $3 million at Indiana yesterday, and the Pick 5 Challenge was pleased to be able to give you the sequence for a fairly, you know, not, you know, the big thing that they offered, you know, that, as I told you, that was a budget that was, you know, atypical, certainly for me. But even on the regular budget, the main ticket and some backups, it was a backup ticket actually that hit $946. So congratulations to everybody that that hit. And there was a lot of nice money raised for the veterans shelter. It also included Tom Amos, who generously kicked in his share for Spa City, winning the Salute the Hero, the Heroes, in the nightcap. And of course, that was a single. I mean, that horse, I mean, you'd, as we discussed with Bill Downs yesterday, I mean, that was just an absolute single. And then, as it turned out, you could have singled the Brad Cox as well. Como Square, the Caddo River sibling, was terrific, and actually went off at a generous 3-2, paid $520. Yeah, and that frankly was a gift. I mean, if you, in retrospect, I mean, I used four. There was the scratch of Bodyful came out, so that was able to trim it a little bit in terms of the expense. It was $105 if you played the backup tickets and the main ticket. It was $105 to hit for $946. You had three tough horses, or two tough horses, let's say, to make sure you got on your play. And you ended up with two favorites in the first leg and the last leg. And you had a second choice, which was in that good allowance, the Double Advantage, who, you know, we picked four on top. Double Advantage was one of them. Deuteronomy Strong ran well for George Leonard to be second in there, but Double Advantage was ridden with confidence. I think the bug, right, was the bug aboard Double Advantage? And I was watching, I was keeping tabs on that. No, it was not the bug. The bug, where was the bug? That there was a spot or two where I thought the bug could kind of help out. You know what? It was in the ninth where Rich Kingdom scratched. Rich Kingdom came out of that ninth race. Anyway, the tough horse was She's My Treasure, and as I wrote, And this is an Andy Serling lesson that Andy years ago instilled in me. The saying, bad horses win bad races. And this was a bad group. I mean, they went off to be shy about saying this. Maiden claimers. So when you look at a race like this, be aware that the favorites are they're in this setting for a reason, and you can't take, you know, just the favorites, especially in a multi-leg wager scenario. So you have to look and see, you know, who has got a hint that maybe has turned a corner, that maybe is doing something different, maybe turning back, maybe going turf to dirt or stretching out. In this case, it was a 5.5 furlong race. And She's My Treasure, the Michael Hayes Treasure Beach filly, that race 2 weeks ago ran a very good race that was instantly competitive with the rest of this group. And so I put She's My Treasure on top. That was a ridiculous price. The 6-1 morning line, the horse goes off at 14-1. And again, that's the benefit of an 11-horse field. But this horse, there's no way that she was 14-1 in the pick four and the pick five. But on a win tote, she was a crazy overlay, 29.80. She's My Treasure. And then you had the first-time starter of Chris Hartman, who, of course, won the stake this weekend, Saturday, at Churchill. We'll talk to Marty in a second about it. But No Drama Mama, the Bodemeister filly, career debut. And it felt to me like the three unraced horses were the place to look. And No Drama Mama, the one that got it done with Orlando Mojica. And basically, it was a merry-go-round race. So the net result, $946 for the pick five. The pick four paid $313, which was nice. So worked out nicely. And thanks to Indiana for a absolutely fabulous season. I mean, just really enjoyable, and a great job by Eric Hallstrom and his team. Marty McGee is standing by.
Bick, I have not talked to you since you almost didn't make birthday number 62.
I guess that's true. That's right, yeah.
So you got two or three years ago, you got the Old Hilltop Award, and Scott Garceau called you Steve Bike. And then when you finally got the Jim McKay Award from the National Turf Writers Association, you couldn't show up.
It was not by choice. I had every intention of going out west, Marty. I was disappointed, to say the least.
You're going to be all right? I mean, is your activity limited still? Or
not really. No. In fact, I had a very nice first post-attack meeting with the cardiologist. And there's a couple of things that they want to monitor. But I got to go back for something next week. But overall, they didn't restrict diet. They didn't warn me on anything. And they said everything else looks good. This was a little odd. They actually chalked it up more to genetics, they said, than anything. That I thought that was interesting. I feel okay.
The frog legs are still in play then for you, huh?
Well, not as much as they are for you, but I was relieved to not be told no more ice cream, no more this, no more. They didn't shut me down that way too much.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So there's a few things. The stack of medications is ridiculous. They've got you on like five different things, which I'm not used to. You know, you take three in the morning and two at night, and it's plus the baby aspirin. I can't imagine what one St. Joseph Children's aspirin does for you on a daily basis, but I guess it does something.
Yeah, I'm on far fewer medications than you, but that's because I'm younger than you.
By a matter of days. The season it. Thank you, Casey. Casey says it's a blood thinner. It helps and helps prevent clotting. Look at that. This is all news, you know. It's all new to me. But I feel okay. I mean, I'm a little. I'm sure people can hear my voice when I'm a little tired. Meanwhile, Marty, Churchill, things are continuing, and we got some decent action, including, as I jokingly said, the horses that didn't come to Breeders' Cup that are going to line up in the Dream Supreme.
Yeah, I mean, it's, that was my first question to Neil Pestman. It's like, don't you regret not having sent Bells the One out there to be one of the other horses that beat Gamine? And, you know, he played it the way I knew he would. It's like, I've made my decision. That's it. Don't look back. So you got Bells the One and Sconson, and you have also Club Car, who I thought for sure, actually I talked to Mike and KK Bell, it was the Saturday before pre-entries about Club Car, and they were really hustling her into the Filly and Mare Sprint, and I thought for sure she was going, and I wrote as much. And lo and behold, she did not show up in the pre-entries or, of course, the entries, so it distilled down to a field of five. She's in there. Rosario has the call. Rosario started riding here on Wednesday. Hasn't won a race yet, but I don't think that Ron Anderson has really pulled out all the stops yet. But nonetheless, Frank's Roquette in there too. And I talked to Chris Hartman yesterday about LZ, the number two filly in this field. We're talking about the Dream Supreme, race 10 tomorrow at Churchill. LZ is number two with leading jockey Mitchell Merle to ride.
How about that?
Except Chris said that I called him. He said, "Man, it's such a tough race." So she might come out of there. You would have to envision that past the eighth pole, they'd all come and swallow her up. But I imagine she might scratch. Even if she doesn't go, then who else we got? We got Frank's Roquette setting sail from the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear. And then you also would have the filly, the long shot from Eric Reed. I guess she would set the table for the latecomers. And it should be a heck of a race. It always is when Wisconsin faces off against Bells the One.
On the on topic for a second, because of who these participants are. Your Breeders' Cup postscript, and of course you track the Filly and Mare Sprint leading up. What was your final take on everything that, including the Filly and Mare Sprint, this past weekend?
Well, my overall take is, man, it's hard to win on these races because if you try and do the pick'ems, and my hat's off to those guys out in the BCBC because you go back and look at what they did, and you're like, how did they know it was all going to happen like that? You know, the top few guys. And it's just so hard to string together the pick'ems, like with the Japanese filly winning the Filly and Mare Sprint, the distaff, I mean. I mean, that'll interrupt you, like that. So,
sure.
Even if you got all the, and moreover, you win it by half a zop, that kind of thing. And I did have a feeling. Even though I picked her, Gamine was vulnerable. I really thought Jackie's Warrior was vulnerable, but I was in the right church, the wrong pew. I scattered with a number of horses, and for some odd reason didn't come up with our local horse here, the Cat Daddy horse, Aloha West.
Huh.
I had a great cat. Have you had him on since he won?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
No, he is so awesome. Just laughed. I talked to him for about 10, 15 minutes the other day, and you end up laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
So, just like that. It just, Nick's Go was tremendous. I wrote a story today that'll be in the Sunday editions of Daily Racing Form about Maxfield how sage of a move it was by Brandon Walsh to hold him out. There's, it's hard to envision a way that he would have gotten past Nick's go, let alone maybe run second. So he's gearing up for the Clark, which will be run 2 weeks from today on November 26th. And it looks like Maxfield versus Midnight Bourbon in that one. But the whole cluster on Friday evening was just such a downer. And I was with some over to a friend of mine named Chris Hankabine, enjoying my first not attending a Breeders' Cup since 08. And we were having a good time. And then that came up. Of course, I would have had the winner with various things. But they put Kenny McPeak up, and there's real irony in that Kenny, for betting purposes, won, but he's still winless in the Breeders' Cup. So, and Brian Hernandez, that's a whole other topic. He ends up being the winner for pari-mutuel purposes. I wrote something about him. I think it was in yesterday's form, or maybe this morning's, or today's. He has hit the ground. He hit the ground four times in a 17-day span, and starting October 21st all the way through the race that Hartman and Murrell won, the Bet on Sunshine last Saturday, he hit the ground again. And just amazingly, he has not been injured in any of those four spills.
Yikes. Yeah, with Christophe Clement, this came up with Jay on Tuesday, with Christophe Clement getting off the Breeders' Cup dock, that leaves Kenny McPeak as the most accomplished trainer without a Breeders' Cup win, and it won't be long for him either. So you wouldn't think.
Yeah, if you bet on him, you won though.
which is a nice, I guess, a consolation for those that included, and less so for Kenny. In fact, I saw the quote where he kind of referenced that a little bit. Well, we'll continue and close out our Breeders' Cup recapping later this morning. And, Mark, for purposes of wagering opportunity today, tomorrow, Sunday, in addition to the Dream Supreme, some very good maiden races, it looks like. There's a terrific allowance sequence today that goes as the 6th, 7th, and 8th, an all-allowance pick 3 with nice fields, 8 by 10 by 9, and closes out the pick 4 and pick 5, close out with a starter allowance. And then into tomorrow, particularly the maiden $120,000 maiden special weights go as the 5th, the 8th, and the 11th. How about some opinions for the card tomorrow or today?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about these big purses. Turfways are so big, they're going to have $62,000 maiden specials. We got yet another top-flight jockey to add to the riders' ranks up there, and it's Joe Rocco. Steve Bass is coming back in action after having about a year off. So Joe Rocco joins Talamo and Landeros and Bayrano and Corrales. It's going to be a pretty deep jockey colony. As far as my opinions for today, like you said, races 6, 7, and 8, all allowances. I think this might be a big day in the life of one Ron Moquette with Sarah Harper in race 7. She's the number 6 horse with Tyler riding. Tyler has some ground to make up on Murrell, having skipped out for the Breeders' Cup, et cetera. So he's won, the last 5 meet titles here at Churchill. But Sarah Harper was really impressive, getting an 87 buyer at the September meet. Makes her first start since then. She ought to win the 7th. 8th race, I thought it was a terrific race. I'm going to give Town Avenger a mulligan for her spinster defeat and look for her to rebound in race 8. Race 9, we have a horse named Malpais, M-A-L-P-A-I-S, mm-hmm. with Rosario riding. This horse has won his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, his last 7. And remarkably yesterday here, Steve, in the slop, a horse for Norman Cash, not to be confused with the first baseman for the Tigers and the 68 World Series champion. That horse is now 8 for 8, and it just kind of escaped me that it happened until I pulled up his PP this morning for a buyer. He got an 87 buyer, and I'm trying to think what his name is. Oh, I just wrote about it. Who is the horse that won the 7th or 8th yesterday in a gallop under John McKee? Let me call him up here.
Because I wasn't watching Churchill yesterday. I had Indiana and Aqueduct were the two focuses. So I cannot immediately help you here.
Norman Cash, by the way, is really an interesting story. Beverly Park. Yeah, he's a 4-year-old Munnings colt. And he claimed him out of his second start this year up at Belterra. And he's won 6 more since then. So he's a remarkable 8 for 8. Anyway, Malpais in the last race today, circling back, he's going for 8 in a row. He's not perfect on the year, but nonetheless, this would be his 8th in a row. So he's probably going to be a single on a lot of tickets. By the way, in that late pick 4 sequence today, a few scratches, race 6, number 4, Briefcase Bully is out. And in that 9th race, in which Malpais will be the favorite, you've got number 4, Artemis Eagle, and number 6, Secretary at War. They are both out of that race, too. So I thought that there's a terrific allowance race that features Eben and Ram. That's race 6 today. Sermon on the Mount for Amos, who won a real nice race on Wednesday with a horse named Defeater. I asked him what he's going to do. The Defeater got an 87 in that victory on Wednesday. Nicely done. And Tommy said he was going to meet Sunday with the ownership group, or with the owner, and see what's going on with that horse. But, you know, Steve, there's always so much going on around here, especially with, Turfway coming up and trying to figure out. If you name a big-name trainer here on this circuit, almost all of them are leaving behind substantial strings of horses for Turfway while, branching out and going to Oaklawn and Gulfstream and Fairgrounds and et cetera.
You mentioned that, and I will tell you that I've brought it up virtually with everybody that might be eligible, in conversations the last 3-4 weeks, saying, what's your winter plan? And, quite a few. Some are taking the whole team wherever, to Florida. And don't forget that with this Oaklawn situation, with Oaklawn opening December 3rd, that's an unusual scenario, too. So it's going to be very interesting to see where horses flow and where they, where they take up residence, once we get. I mean, Thanksgiving, Fairgrounds opens 2 weeks from yesterday.
Yeah, and some guys were. I think Phil Bauer is one of them. He was telling me that he had, before Jazz Fest got canceled.
Right.
That was going to render the turf course at Fairgrounds unusable until like February. So guys made other plans, including Phil. I think he's going to, I forget if he told me, to Palmettos or Tampa. But anyway, there's a lot of balls in the air.
Couple spots tomorrow, too, we should mention. In the third race, early tomorrow, 2 o'clock, you've got Rushy shows up in here, coming out of the ACAC. And you've also got the return to title ready for Dallas and Chuck Fipke, last seen, of course, in Dubai in the World Cup. South Bend turns up here for Gary Barber and Peter Deutsch and Adam Wachtel and Sonneman. I mean, this is just a 5-pack, but it's a really nice group. And as I mentioned, you got these bulky 2-year-old maiden races, where some pedigree work is going to have to be involved. A couple of miles, a couple of long, and one short. The fillies start the middle pick 4, race 5. Any pedigree notes of worth touching on?
No, I'm going to leave that to Nicole Russo. But yeah. Anyway, Rushy. He has not won since he won the Pad Day Mile on the September 2020 Derby undercard. I thought he was going to be a top miler. I'm sure that Michael McCarthy's a little bit disappointed in him, but he looks like he's in a really good spot in here. There's not a whole lot of speed in there, except for a horse named Endemage, who looks like he's probably overmatched class-wise, but I think that Tyler ought to have his way in that race.
Very good. Anything else? Any other clever? Just looking to see what Hermes's. You made Icy Stare Down your dark type selection, a 7-2 shot in that 2-year-old fifth race. Brad Cox.
Yeah, I mean, the Cox horses kind of tip their hand on the tote board, it seems like. So that would be the kind of thing to wait and see what kind of price he is. I mean, invariably they're 5-1 or less, but some of them really take action, and when that happens, they're usually pretty good.
Well, and in fact, our friend Al Gold, partner in Icy Stare Down with Paul Braverman.
I don't think I've ever met Al Gold, but you know who he was really good friends with was Bill Handelman from New Jersey, from Asbury Park.
Well,
I miss that guy. How long, man?
It's a handful.
Life gets away, doesn't it? He probably died at least 10 years ago. It's just.
I'm still waiting. Actually, you mentioned that. I'm still waiting for my Handelman. I was the Handelman Award winner in 2020, and I'm
well. Waiting. Hopefully, you'll show up and they'll pronounce your name right.
I'm waiting for the. It's usually like a little horse statuette. So,
all right, help me on that Florida thing, Vic. I'll see you.
Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, and in fact, you know, Marty, we could advertise for you right now.
Well, I mean, I've been going to Florida every year since '96, except for the 1 year I was sick. But I'm having a hard time finding a place. I like to stay real near the Diplomat. Like, I've been staying about 7 furlongs north of there on Hollywood Beach, but for reasons. A number of reasons, one of which is it seems like the snowbirds are coming back en masse in terms of, you know, after missing last year from the pandemic, so there's no room at that end, so I'm kind of on the market to fill a spot for 3 months, but
wow.
Yeah, anyway.
For those listening, if anybody in real estate from Dania to Aventura, help Marty find a place for this season, please. And if you want to reach out to me or to Marty, let me know or let him know. And he'll.
First time I've ever done anything like that, Vic.
This is like a sort of like the town square.
Have a great weekend, buddy. Talk to you.
You too, Marty McGee, everybody, and. He's gonna be shocked at the response because there's already people saying, "I got a place from to offer Marty." He'll be he'll end up right on Hallandale Beach Boulevard in about another 20 minutes. He'll have a place. We're gonna have fun with Gary next, and while we wait, while Casey raises Gary, I should mention yesterday at Keeneland, big day for weanlings. The weanlings were flying off the shelves. You had a Justify colt that Coolmore bought. This is out of Unenchanted Evening, which is Jane Lyons, and a $625,000 knockdown. You had a Gunrunner colt go to Maverick Racing, which is the Windstar, one of the Windstar Racing entities, $410,000 for that one. Into Mischief had a productive day with weanlings. How about 375, 350, 350 for Golden Star Farm? And then Dino Bakari, Bloodstock, Hartley Dorenzo as well. So weanlings driving the ledger yesterday at Keeneland. The top mare, Streak of Luck, a 6-year-old by Old Fashioned that Aaron and Marie Jones bought. And this one is in full to Authentic. And in fact, Authentic was the story yesterday when it came to covering sires. $620,000 for Streak of Luck. And then there were two other mares that were in full to Authentic. that went for $5.25 and $500,000. Cilicia Farm bought Impeccable Style, young mare, 4-year-old, that four-star offered. And Gary Broad, Walmack, paid $5.25 for Jennifer's Dream, the 5-year-old Medaglia d'Oro mare out of Joyful Victory, the very nice Joyful Victory. So trade continues at Keeneland all the way through next week. And next week as well, we will talk in detail, probably starting Tuesday. I would guess Tuesday and Wednesday we'll get Alan Foreman in and so forth. HISA released their first set of rule concepts that are going to be available for public comment, and there'll be apparently some other drafted rules dropped. And we'll go through everything. Some interesting, you know, some things are you know, predictable and fall right in line with a lot of initiatives industry wide. Other things are a little bit more involved, and we'll go through everything. There was a couple. One thing in there that I thought was certainly a potential positive. The idea of essentially the health passport, and this has been discussed for I would say more than 10 years. The idea of the microchipping, for starters, you know, which has made great progress, but then using the microchip source card, let's say the you know, the base of what the microchip does for you, then a detailed and ongoing record of everything that has gone on with a horse, and this includes, of course, whatever veterinary treatment, and also the idea of tracking, you know, where the horses are, and part of that with these draft rules includes, you know, the idea of knowing where horses are for out-of-competition testing purposes, you know, which does feel like a, you know, a major ongoing portion of you know, the monitoring of horses for you know, for integrity purposes. That has really already gone a long way. There are some things in here that are novel and innovative, it seems, and then there's some things that are going to come under more scrutiny and an argument. So we'll discuss that. We'll get plenty of feedback next week, starting with Alan Foreman, I imagine, and we also will talk to Eric Hamelbeck as the National HBPA and continues, you know, to test the, you know, the constitutionality of the whole concept. Is going to be part of the discussion. Case, there's a couple of options. All right, if Gary is tied up, then we could go to, I don't want to get, we can always circle back to Gary. So if you want to go to Nick Tamaro now, and then we'll come and slip Gary in next hour, you know, once training is over. All right? Yeah, that's fine. That'll work out. I just got the greatest picture. Holy cow. Guy Tersilieri just sent me the picture of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, which, of course, we track very closely every year, being moved from its home in Elkton, Maryland. And, wow, pretty cool with this gigantic crane. I'll put that up so everybody can see it. You know who was following this was Joe Clancy, because I guess Joe lives around the corner from where they plucked the tree. Yeah, I saw that he was tracking it. All right. And Casey, I also just heard back from Gary too. So if Nick is slow to respond, you can circle over to Gary. One way or another, we're going to have we will have one or the other join us. I should mention too today. There's a couple of stakes spots. Be aware at Remington. You got Remington and Delta today. In fact, it's kind of bittersweet. The Delta jackpot, right? This or next weekend would typically be the Delta jackpot weekend. The treasure chest this afternoon, 4:41 Eastern time. Got a group of six, and then they come back tomorrow with the Delta Mile. And you know, the mile was well on its way to becoming a potentially a graded stake as part of the jackpot and the Princess. 5-2 favorite Pirates Punch, Grant Forster, in the Delta Mile. They got a group of 10 tomorrow, 5:09, ninth race tomorrow at Delta. As we wait, let me also pull up the Remington, give you that look. You got the McNeil tonight, and the slideshow, the Silver Goblin. So nice card, actually, Remington. They got nice size fields tonight, starting at 8:07 Eastern. So some stakes on a Friday. And then into the weekend action. All right, what do we got, Case? Where are we? We got Gary. Do we? Super
Steve.
G, there he is.
How are you, Steve?
How? Forget me. I'm fine. Gary, I can't. Just the only thing that was wrong is that it wasn't one of our horses, but so happy for you. Congratulations, win number 1,000.
Thank you. It was a long wait, you know, a lot of seconds and thirds and horses that should have won that didn't, but I'm glad it came.
Well, and, you know, I Woodbury and I talked this morning, and, of course, this is a horse that Mike Hennig and Woodbury and Olga own together, comp set, and that part of it is really nice. You know, long time associated with Woodbury, and, you know, Mike and his brother Dan, then, you know, they've had horses with you now. It's got to be 10 years.
Yeah, at least.
Now, and was just getting off the air when the race went off, and Dave Grenig and I, Gary, have been, you know, kind of tracking this, and we've been having the big countdown, a thousand wins, and we could tell yesterday that it really, how much it meant to you, and you got a little emotional. The people saw the softer side.
That's what Richie said, Migliori. He's a good guy, you know. He's been on the countdown too, you know. I hope I'm working when it happens. I really hope I'm here. So it was a lot of fun, you know.
Well, and add them up a little bit, Gary. Talk about the jocks. Talk about the staff. You know, you've said the nicest things about Paul, who's been with you forever. I mean, reflect a little bit on your years out on the racetrack.
Well, you know, where would we be without them? You know, the grooms, the hot walkers. I mean, Paul's with me like 35 years, you know. I mean, he's like my right arm, you know. He knows exactly what we do, when we do. I don't even have to say anything, though. Even with the grooms and everything, everybody does what they're doing. And, I mean, it's a whole team effort. And everybody worked together. And, I mean, even this morning when we came in, everybody was just so happy. It was a whole different mood today in the barn. Everybody was just like, hey, congratulations. Great, great. We got it. It was good, you know. And, you know, PJ bought a big sandwich in today. And, I mean, it was just a whole lot of fun today, you know. It's been a long time in the make. I mean, to win 1,000, I mean, for these big outfits, I guess it's a whole lot easier. But the regular outfit working every day, trying to win the races, there, man, it's a tough thing to do.
And of course, one of the funny things that happened at Saratoga this summer, you win on opening day, and then you win the last race of the meet as well. Here's opening day at Aqueduct. And, you know, you said something that I wanted you to talk about. You said that it would have been nice maybe to get this done at Belmont, but you did say that Aqueduct is where you started. Talk about what got you on the racetrack to begin with.
Well, I had an uncle when I was a little kid. I was 12 years old, 10 years old, and I have pictures of me. He was even younger than that. He worked for Jim Pacoot, and he trained a couple of horses. I used to come in with him, and he got out when I was really, really young. But I remember Belmont when they were building it and being around there and stuff. So, and I used to walk to the track after school at Belmont when racing would come to town. I mean, it was a whole lot of fun, you know. But my start, when I started training, they put me in Aqueduct. But when I was there, it was pretty good. There was a bunch of us that were all together, Levine and Joe Chivato and Lenzini and Toner and everybody. We were all together. We were all good friends.
You and I are the same age. We're 61, and to have 1,000 wins at this age, I mean, running your own barn was kind of thrust on you.
Running my own barn was probably what you had to go. You know, starting out, I had a guy named Jack Shaw starting me out with 6 horses, and then working my way up. I had some bad times a lot of the early years, but it's tough struggle. You know, scratching and clawing, trying to win a race and trying to do anything, you know, and it ain't like we're, you know, not knocking Finger Lakes or Parks or anything, but I mean, it's the toughest racing in the world here to try to win.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, we had the years of Oscar Barrera and
Talk about some of the breakthroughs. I mean, Saratoga Dew obviously was the big horse.
She was the biggest turn point for me. You know, winning the first New York bred ever to win the Clips Award. She just turned everything around. I mean, right after that, we won the first Belmont meet and got some owners that were really behind and put money into the business. And came back and ran second in a couple of meets, win another meet, and take off from there. And Subordination was another horse, took us out to California, went 2 grade ones in the Hollywood Derby and the Eddie Reed at opening day at Del Mar. I mean, had a lot of fun, you know. Went to Slough Valley, went to Japan. I mean, the racetrack's taken me to a lot of places and a lot of different things where a lot of normal people wouldn't be able to get to really see.
You know, you mentioned Subordination and, of course, the first millionaire for Seth Klarman. And you talk about some of the people, obviously, that some of the names that, you know, that helped you. You know, we lost Paul Pompa. You had a nice run with Paul.
I've had a few for him. I had a fun time with him. Paul's gone, you know, and it's a shame, right? You're a young guy, you know. Yeah. He's younger than me. And sold his business, going to relax a little bit, and boom. Nobody's promised tomorrow.
Well, and Seth, and of course Charlie Engel, and you know, and then you've had for as long as I know you. I mean, you've had so many clients that just have stayed around and stayed with you, you know, year in, year out.
Well, they were great. I even built Parcells. I won a lot of races for Bill. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
We did great for him. We
had
a ton for him.
Yeah, big time. Well, you know, I've said repeatedly, and you know, and we've had you on, whether it's a horse like Saratoga Snacks, or you know, when we talk about any horses of ours. But I'm so happy to have contributed. I mean, whatever it is, 20, 25 wins in this 1,000, and. You've taught me so much about the game, and you know, so often I talk about things that I've learned from you, and so proud of you, and happy for you, and you know, you've raised 2 beautiful children, and you and Joe are.
Well, that's it. So being on the racetrack too, I have a great wife, Josephine, and 2 kids, Bobby and Gina. I mean, just. things couldn't be any better that way. I mean, things are great there, you know, and my wife put up with so much, you know, being a trainer's wife. Anyhow, you got to go do this, leave that, do run here, go there. Horse is sick, coming in here for that, leaving her every day, not be able to go some places. Dude, I mean, a lot of struggles, you know. A lot of times you got to give up a lot.
Well, listen, even if you weren't a trainer, she'd have to put up with a lot.
That's true, too.
Who else? You must. I know you must have been thinking about certain people yesterday. I imagine whether it's family or you know friends that are gone or you know you had so many. There's been so many people. Actually, Gary, I think about that. I mean, some people that are not that old that are you know that we'd see at Saratoga and. A circle of friends, and of course Dominic Salzano just recently. I mean, there's some people
that's why I wore the jacket yesterday.
Yeah,
you know, good guy. Really wanted more, wanted this, wanted that. Went to sleep and never woke up. What a great guy! And wanted so much for me. He wanted to be my 1,000 win.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with my mother and father.
Eddie, wish Eddie could be here.
Yeah, a lot of people come out of Saratoga, they're just gone.
Yeah.
But it was nice, my friend Eddie Fazone came up, he got in the wind picture, and he's there. He's been a supporter of mine. When we were young, he never owned no horses, he didn't own a horse, he didn't own anything. We were kids, you know, and he now owns 4 or 5 horses with me.
He's done well with Chowda and Lobster, and we got Oyster coming, and it's so great. And it's a good promotion for the restaurant, too, for Eddie F's in Saratoga. It's so
he's
great.
He's done well, you know, he's done really well, came back, and done really went to Florida for a little bit, came back, and, you know, a loyal, you know, what we don't have in this business, which we lose, is loyalty. And, you know, I'm very blessed to have several people that are like that.
Well,
including Eddie Fazone. Eddie, you know, he's 100% behind me. So happy. Great guy. Great people. You run into some great people here. Became good friends with Bobby Flay, you know, Bill Parcells. Bobby's been my first guy to text me yesterday was Bobby Flay. You know, great job and all. You know, like I said, met so many people here.
Now, the game is... Like you said, it takes you places, and it's a fascinating, you know, it's a fascinating experience. And you know, you're somebody that looks out for everybody, you know, on the racetrack, and so deserving to have you know this kind of a landmark win, and to start working on the next 1,000.
Right. This one almost killed me, this one. But it was just like I said, just coming in, we had so many breaks that went the other way. Even the filly that won yesterday, she got beat the last jump last time.
Yep.
You know, and just there was like 8 seconds. Like it was just, we said, wow. One of these, is that going to happen? And Richie said, don't worry, that's the way it goes. He says, when he went to his milestones, it just took forever. And his kids and everything like that there, and we laughed about it and stuff, and he laughed. But like I said, yesterday before the race, he said, maybe now I'm glad I'm here because we're hoping this is going to be the one.
Well, and you know, I thought it was interesting you had, and it would have been great with Eric Cancel or anybody else, but I thought it was interesting that Javier ended up aboard Comset, and, you know, if you go back to the beginning of your career, you know, you rode some great names that, you know, I got that great picture of you with Mike Smith, and, you know, whenever we run into people, Eddie Maple and Angel, and, you know, they all have great memories with you and
yeah,
the horses
all,
you put
you know,
them on.
We went up Julie Crone, I got a bunch of pictures with, you know, and all the guys that did really well. Mike is my buddy even till this day, you know. Ed Gaprato, I run a bunch with him. He's like the second one to text me yesterday. And just, I mean, a lot of jocks just come in there. And through the years, I've seen a lot of careers. Jorge Chavez, great guy. And
that's right. You rode a lot. You rode Georgie a lot. Yeah.
You know, when a lot of Rays would hit, you know, we were, like I said, it's just been a kind of bit of a roller coaster, but we were rolling, you know. We had a good time and had a lot of fun. And like I said, Paul's been with me through the whole time, and he's like my right arm, and he's great.
And there's horses and moments that people don't, that I'm just looking at the list. And, yesterday everybody was mentioning, you know, Saratoga Dew and Subordination and Snacks. Dr. Kiernan and Chris Antley from Mr. Whitbread.
Right, that was another one. I went a bunch with Chris. When I won the meet, Chris won like 15, 16 races just in that meet for me. I mean, he rode Diamond. It was great. Art Madrid rode him one time.
Art Madrid. Wow. Yeah, that was when the Bowling Green won the Bowling Green, Dr. Kiernan.
Right, he came from dead last, circled the field, and what a race that was!
A lot of nice.
Heartbreaks. He was getting right into Japan, and he ended up having a deadly injury, which was fine. And now the game is a bunch of heartbreakers, but
yeah.
If you get by them, you're all right.
Wow. Gary, I couldn't wait. I've been looking forward to this and being able for everybody to hear you and appreciate your terrific career.
It would have been nice if DT Stables and everybody. That would have been super.
That's all right.
I just wanted it to come.
It doesn't matter, right? It didn't matter. Maybe Sunday will be 1,003 or 1,000, and you know you'll win a couple between now and Sunday.
As long as they keep going, once we got there, usually you get the one, then they start following again. So
it's true.
Like I said, I'm glad we were there. I had a lot of good people, a lot of good memories,
and many more to come. Many more to come. Gary, well done. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for everything.
Okay, thank you so much, Steve. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Gary Siaka, and been so fortunate to have Gary train our horses in New York from we started with Chuck, and then when we bought some New York breds, got involved with New York breds, Gary, he's been terrific. Can pick out a young horse. He's had tons of success. Buys a horse from reasonable money. And I'm so happy for him. I think Paul Matisse is